May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, we can't deny that social media has taken hold of our lives and that it has drastically changed the way most of us spend our time. How many of you can relate to this? You sit at your computer or you get out your phone, you go onto Facebook and you tell yourself that you're just going to take 10, 15 minutes max to check on those status updates from your friends, and then an hour later, you find yourself in the midst of kitten videos that seem never to end, and you don't know how you got there. Or maybe you have fallen prey to clickbait in order to find out which 10 celebrities look totally different without makeup, or the 23 mildly irritating things that can send people into a blind rage, or the 21 signs you're really from Massachusetts, which, not surprising to anyone who actually is from Massachusetts, that is one list that has way too many swear words to read aloud in church. Social media can be a significant waste of time, and it can bring out the worst in humanity with Facebook rants, Twitter wars, and internet trolls. But social media can also give us a window into the goodness of humanity, a window we wouldn't otherwise get. Like this story that was posted on Facebook about a year ago by a New York City subway rider named Gregory Locke. He wrote, "I got on the subway in Manhattan tonight and found a swastika on every advertisement and every window. The train was silent as everyone stared at each other, uncomfortable and unsure what to do. One guy got up and said, 'You know, hand sanitizer gets rid of Sharpie.' He found some tissues and got to work. I've never seen so many people simultaneously reach into their bags and pockets looking for tissues and Purell. Within about 2 minutes, all of the Nazi symbolism was gone." Locke's post was picked up by news outlets across the country, giving millions of people access to what happened on that subway train and reminding all of us that ordinary people can be extraordinarily good. And yet, the final words of his post were chilling. "Nazi symbolism on a public train in New York City in 2017. And so we pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." No phrase of the Lord's Prayer comes closer to our humanness than this one. It is our capacity for temptation that seems to define us as human beings. It is we humans who are capable, yes, of extraordinary good. And it is we humans who are also so painfully susceptible to temptation. And so we keep praying. Lead us not into temptation. Or as the New Living Translation says, don't let us yield to temptation. Have you ever stopped to wonder why we plead with God not to lead us into temptation? Would God actually do that? Would God actually lead us into temptation if we didn't ask him not to? The answer in the Bible seems quite clear. The New Testament book of James says this: "No one, when tempted, should say, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one." James is clear. Temptation is not from God. And yet, it is such a regular part of our lives. It's part of what it means to be imperfect, flawed human beings living in an imperfect, broken world. We face temptation each and every day. Even Jesus himself knew temptation during his earthly life and ministry. As we begin the season of Lent next Sunday, we'll be reminded of the time when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the devil. And there must have been other times when Jesus' patience was tested by followers and friends who were dull and difficult, when his ego was tested by crowds who commended him one day and then condemned him the next, when his energy was tested by long days and endless human needs. He knew what it was like to be tested and tried. He knew what it was like to be tempted. He knew what it was like to be human. And so he gave us these words to pray: "Don't let us yield to temptation." He built into his prayer a simple recognition of the kinds of lives we live as imperfect, flawed human beings, making our way through this imperfect, broken world, human beings who are capable of extraordinary good and who are also so painfully susceptible to temptation. Jesus gave us a way to say to God, when life comes to a place where one road leads to testing and another road leads to freedom from testing, "Oh God, show me the way to freedom." But because we are human, we know we don't always choose that road. In those times when we have two choices, we sometimes make the more difficult choice. Sometimes life demands it. Sometimes we make mistakes. And when that happens, we need help to face the evil we might encounter along the way. And so again, Jesus gives us words to pray: deliver us from evil, rescue us from the evil one. Don't let us yield to temptation. Rescue us from the evil one. These two phrases tell us important things about what it means to be people of faith. First, we are human, and testing is a universal part of life. It is part of the fabric of every day for every human being. And second, we might be human, but God is God. And God can bring us back from any temptation we might face. God can bring us to victory over any evil we might encounter along the way. We are human, but God is God. And that is good news. That is the good news that leads us to say with awe and wonder, with praise and thanksgiving, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."